Well, good morning, Peoria Nazarene Church family, and welcome to our online worship service. My name is Matt. I'm one of the pastors here at Peoria Nazarene, and I just want to welcome you and say if you're watching on YouTube or Facebook, go ahead and say hello in the comments there. Let us know you're watching. If you're part of our family Facebook group, go ahead and post your Sunday selfie and say hi to each other there. But it is good to have you with us online this morning. We're going to pause and pray before we go any further and just invite God's presence in our homes. And we hope and pray that our time together here as we worship and as we open the Word of God here in just a moment would be a blessing to you, and that you would feel the nearness and love of God in your homes this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this chance to come together online. And we just pray that you would bless the time that we have together, that the worship would be pleasing to you, that as we open your word, that you would speak to us, that you would give us the courage and the grace to respond to what it is that you call us to do. And may you touch Pastor Mark as he shares with us what's on his heart and the message that you have given him. Anoint his words, give him clarity of speech and clarity of thought. And in all that we say and do this morning, may your name be glorified. We love you and we pray these things in your name. Amen.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, you've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies.
Good morning. Welcome to Peoria Nazarene Church Online this morning. I want to welcome you to this live stream, whether you're a regular or a guest joining us today. My name is Mark. I'm the lead pastor at Peoria Nazarene Church, and we're just thrilled to have you worship with us together this morning. I just want to take a moment and update you. I know that we're continuing in this time of worshiping in a non-conventional way, and we've been asking God to bless this time. While we're continuing to see Him grow and expand our reach through this live stream, we are eager and excited about our eventual reopening. And I just want to update you again that our board, church board, met last week, is meeting again this Tuesday. We're formulating a reopening task force that's going to help guide us as we continue to listen to our district superintendent, our district team. We're also in conversation and staying up to date with other pastors in the area, also going to continue to follow our local governing authorities and our state-level governing authorities. And just want to let you know that as things progress here, we are eager and excited about that time when we can reopen. But we're also committed to adapting, whatever that looks like, as we develop our plan in such a way to keep everybody safe. But we're really excited about that. So just keep praying for our leaders. We miss gathering. We're excited about that eventual time that's coming. But as we begin today, we'll take a moment for prayer. I also want us just to pray for a couple families I won't name. A couple families in our church family had losses this week and last week. And I think it'd be good for us just to pause for a minute and remember that grief is always hard. But it's especially hard in these times when you aren't able to be in as close connection with other people like you would like to be. So let's just take a moment. Let's recognize God's presence with us. Let's pause. Let's pray not only for our leaders, but also just for healing, for a next step for us to be able to soon gather again, and for those who are grieving. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we just pause. We are so thankful for your love for us. And as we gather even distance in our homes today, we know that you are with us through your Holy Spirit. And Jesus, we approach you as our Lord, as our Savior, as our King. And we're so thankful that because Jesus, you have overcome the grave and you are risen, we have hope in you. We have life. And the reason why we gather and we take this time on Sundays is to, once again, always remind ourselves of that. Always allow your Holy Spirit to pull us back to what is central to who we are. And then, Father, we also spend this time because we want to share your love. We want other people to know who you are and what you've done for us and how you don't just love us, you love all people. So, God, I pray that you would continue to be with our governing authorities locally and at the state level, Lord. We pray for them, Father, and beyond at the federal level. We pray and we ask, God, that you would lead us through this time, Lord. We know we have economic concerns, small businesses, just the nature of our economy and how that will impact families. We have concerns from a health perspective with those who are vulnerable. Father, you know these things. And you sent your Son into the world to redeem all that is broken. And we know that the ultimate healing we need, you have provided for us in your death and resurrection. The healing from our sins, but also that ultimate restoration when you will put everything back to what you originally intended it to be. So, Father, we look to you. Guide us. Be with these families who are grieving this week. And be with each person who is listening today and joining us. Lord, whatever it is that we need today, we are looking to you to be the one who provides for us. So, Father, we pray these things, trusting in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, today we're going to kind of be in between where we were last week and wrapping up a series that we're calling Can It Really Be True? And moving into kind of a series that will focus a little bit on where God may be leading us just as we take next steps and trying to reach more people with the good news of Jesus Christ. But I want to pause just for a moment today, and I want to speak to you about the unity of the church. And I think God's Word has a wonderful focus for us. And we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6 will be our primary text. But I think there's a wonderful reminder and encouragement that every one of us need. But before we get there, I don't know how many of you have been watching The Last Dance. In fact, I'm really excited. One part that it's Sunday is Sunday evening. I get to watch the final installment of The Last Dance. And if you're not familiar with The Last Dance, it really tells the story of that legendary team, the Chicago Bulls of the late 80s through the mid 90s. And really, this series is about Michael Jordan. And it's been so fun for me to teach my kids and show them how great that team was that I watched when I was a kid. And one of the things that they've covered in covering Michael Jordan is a commercial, and I'm going to put it up here. Some of you may remember it. Be Like Mike, the Gatorade commercials. These were commercials that were really kind of funny. They had kind of a little song to them, and Michael Jordan had all these kids around him. He's playing and shooting baskets, and he's got his Nike shoes on. He's drinking Gatorade, and you can see on the right here, it says, Be Like Mike, drink Gatorade. It's all you're thirsting for. And so you can see how Gatorade's using this. Hey, if you want to be like Michael Jordan, you've got to drink Gatorade, because that's what Michael Jordan drinks. Well, if you've been watching the series, The Last Dance, you realize that what people perceived of the Chicago Bulls from the outside and of Michael Jordan was not the exact same experience as those on the inside. It was difficult. Michael Jordan, he had high demands for excellence, and at times he was really harsh with his teammates, and sometimes his teammates didn't even really like him, but his drive led his team to win. So you have this slogan, Be Like Mike. Now, kids today, even though Michael Jordan's retired, they still try to emulate athletes. I think of one of my sons who's been working, trying to perfect in basketball, the James Harden step back. And if you're familiar with that, some people think James Harden is traveling when he does the step back, but it's when he steps back and he makes that shot, and I have a son who's trying to emulate that. And, you know, that's okay. In fact, it's good to try to aspire to great things. And I know many of our kids, maybe it's a baseball player that's their hero that they're joining. That's okay. But more than anything, for followers of Jesus, and for our kids, I would speak to you, and even as a parent to my kids, what we desire more than anything is to be like Jesus. And this simple truth here today, I believe this is precisely the truth in Ephesians chapter 4 that the Apostle Paul was speaking to the church at Ephesus, which contained so many people who had just come to faith from so many backgrounds. And the Apostle Paul challenges the Ephesian Christians to be like Jesus. And that struck me this week in these times where I've sensed an angst. It's in me, it's in all of us. And it doesn't matter where you fall and kind of how things are unraveling. If you're somebody who's like, I just want to get back today, or if you're somebody who's, I want to play it cautious, let's take our time before things open. I just want to encourage you, everybody is just a little bit weary and feels the pressure of dealing with things that aren't normal. And I think we can all relate, and even if we have different views or opinions, there is a reality that we just want things to go back, and that's okay. But I think what Paul says to the church at Ephesus is so helpful for us. We are called to be like Jesus. That's the calling that we as Christians have. Why is this so important? Why is it so very important that we as Christians are like Jesus? And I want to share this because I think this is such a profound truth that we need to hear again. And that is this, that to see God's love, we have to look at Jesus. In order for the world to see Jesus, they have to look at the church. You see, Jesus lived bodily. He walked the earth. He showed the love of God. Yet after he was raised from the dead, he ascended into heaven. So how does the world see Jesus to be able to understand God's love? It's through the church. We are that temple on earth that Paul speaks about, that building that's built together so that the whole world can encounter where God himself dwells, the Lord Jesus through the Spirit in the church. So church, if the world is going to know God's love, it's going to be through the church. It's going to be through us. And the only way they can know God's love is through Jesus. So we have to be like Jesus. For our kids who are joining and our adults, I want to share this devotional. It's from the book, Thoughts That Make Your Heart Sing by Sally Lloyd-Jones. This is our daily devotional we've been doing as a family, and this is such a profound yet so simple truth, and I hope our kids enjoy this, but also our families. It's called Knowing God, and it's got a picture of Jesus over here with all of creation surrounding him. And it says, God's world is shining all around us, the skies, the streams, trees, animals, without needing any words at all, are telling us God is powerful, wise, and beautiful. But they can't tell us everything. In fact, they can't tell us the most important thing. They can't tell us about his love, his wonderful, never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love. The love that made the stars, that moved heaven and earth to be near us, that came down to live with us. No, to really see God's love, we must look at Jesus. Colossians 1:15 says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. You see, what Scripture teaches is that you can know certain things about God, the divine creator, just by looking at creation. You can see his power. You can see his wisdom. But to really understand who God is, we must look at the Son of God. That's what Paul says in Colossians. Christ is the visible image of God. He shows us who God is. And the only way we can fully understand God's love and experience God's love is through Jesus Christ. In church, the only way that the world can come to see the Lord Jesus Christ is if they see Jesus in me and in you. It's through the church that the Holy Spirit fills, that the very presence of Christ is in us. And the world who can see through creation that God is powerful and he is wise, Romans 1 speaks of that. As they recognize that and then they look at the church is the place for the love of God to be displayed so that the world might know. So what does it look like? How do we be like Jesus? Do you see why it's important? There's people in your family who don't know Jesus, who don't know the hope that we know, the resurrection of Jesus. There's people that you're praying for, neighbors, friends, that you want to share God's love. Church, it's so important that you and I are like Jesus Christ. Let's look at Ephesians 4. Apostle Paul is going to tell us how to be like Jesus, starting in verse 1. Paul says this, he says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You see, the Apostle Paul says, I want you to walk worthy of the calling with which you've been called. Paul is writing to individuals, if you went back to chapter 2, who have been brought from death to life. Paul reminds the Ephesian Christians that once you were dead in your sins, you were lost, you were without life. Your sins, they were like chains that surrounded you. You were unable to save yourself. But God, who is rich in mercy, he gave his Son and he made us alive by grace through faith. We've been saved. And Paul's saying, God's done all this for you in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's shown you his love. And Paul says, I want you to live up to that. And the way we live up to that is when we seek to let Jesus live in us. And we as the church allow God through the Holy Spirit to make us like Jesus Christ. So Paul shares, what does that look like? He says it looks like humility. Humility. And you know, humility has a lot more to do with our perspective than it does just our posture of the mind. Sometimes we think something is humble just because it's self-effacing. But that's really not what Christian humility is about. Christian humility is rooted in a biblical, theological understanding of the gospel. That we as Christians and we as people in God's creation, we are loved not because of our good things, not because we bring something or we are lovely. We are loved by God because God is a God of self-giving love. And He demonstrates His love not just for the church, but for all people. When we're lost, when we're broken, and when we've done evil, He still loves us and He sends His Son to save us and to redeem us. You see, to be truly humble is to have a right understanding of who you are and who I am. God is eternal. He is limitless in His power. I am limited in my power. God is limitless in His knowledge. There is nothing He does not know, but my knowledge is limited. I am flesh in this life, and I am limited in my strength, my body, my mind, my emotions. I'm limited, but God is limitless. He is the Father, the source of all wisdom. I don't have it. You see, Paul says you want to be like Jesus. Embrace humility. Embrace humility towards God, but towards others. Philippians 2, that famous passage about Jesus emptying himself of everything but love. While he still was fully God, Jesus humbled himself and became a servant. Jesus says, Paul says there, let that same mind be in you. We must consider others as better than us. Even those who are different, we must take a form of a servant. That is not the way of the world, but it is the way of Jesus. And I want to encourage you, all of us, and we all struggle with this at times. Let's remember that the call to be like Jesus is to embrace humility. But it's not just humility, it's gentleness. And I just want to challenge you, when Paul speaks of gentleness here, I don't think he's saying, don't have patience. It is okay to be a passionate person. It's okay to be passionate about your opinions. It's okay to be even passionate about politics. There's nothing wrong with that. And our church is full of people, just like any, well, people in general, that have passions. And some are passionate one way, some are passionate the other way. It's okay to have passions. But let me encourage you, all of our passions, our opinions, our communication needs to be communicated through gentleness. We are called to be a people that are gentle, that express the love of God, willing to swallow our own pride, admitting that there's probably more I don't know than what I do know, willing to be humble and gentle, to back up, willing to listen, willing to be kind, willing to admit our limitations. Humility, gentleness, forbearing, love. He goes on to talk about forbearing love, and you've probably heard the phrase, love covers a multitude of sins. And I think it's so important as followers of Christ, there's going to be people that are going to annoy us. It's human nature. We're different personality types, we're different hobbies, different opinions, and it's so easy to view everybody through the way I do things, but the call of the Christian is to be forbearing, to love everyone, not just the people like me, but to love everyone and be patient. Love suffers long. Forbearing love, to forbear with people, to stay with them, to encourage them, not quick to write people off. Sometimes it's easier if we can just write somebody off, isn't it? But the call to be like Jesus is to be forbearing and patient. The last thing here that Paul says when it comes in terms of walking worthy of the gospel and being like Jesus, Paul says we must be eager to keep unity, focused on unity, that we want to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And I think the way we do this is when we have a tighter grip on the gospel and on the centrality of the risen Christ and the cross of Christ than we do anything else. You know, there's certain things we're passionate about, but there's really only a few things that we're willing to give our lives for. And the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death and resurrection of Christ, the wonderful message of hope and salvation is what holds us together. the fact that Christ is coming again. That is our hope. And we are willing to suffer to bring the good news of Jesus to people who need his love. That is what we're willing to hold on to. So it's okay to have patience. It's okay to have deep thoughts and opinions. But let's be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit. Why is this so important? It's almost like the Apostle Paul here would maybe sense the need to further ground what he's saying in the core doctrine of the church. And he does exactly that. Look at verse 4 here. He says, there's only one body in one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. The Apostle Paul reminds us that the ground for unity and the reason we must stay focused on these things, humility, gentleness, forbearing, love, and keeping unity, is because the very essence of the gospel. We are to remember there is one gospel. There's only one gospel that we're called into. It's the message of Christ who comes to us broken and sinful, God himself to restore us, to call us back to a relationship with God, that by faith we can be saved, by faith we can be new, by faith we can have eternal life, and we can live as God intends us to live. We must remember the one gospel, but we also must remember we have one life-giving mission. Jesus said in John 17, as he prayed, he said, in the same way that the Father has sent me into the world, so I am sending you. Jesus sent his disciples and he sends the church to be his very loving and faithful presence on the earth. And the mission of Jesus doesn't stop. Sometimes we think that he came, he lived, he died, he was raised, he ascended to the Father, and now he's just kind of waiting. And here we are as a church trying to do our thing. And that's really a misunderstanding of Scripture. No, the risen Jesus is alive, and he's in the world in 2020. And he's in the world through the church. Sinners who've been brought into his family, who've been saved by grace, and we are that very meeting place for the world to come and encounter the one true God and be restored to him. We are that temple that Scripture speaks about, the church, not a building, but those who've been saved. So I want to encourage you, let's remember that just as Jesus came to seek and save the lost, just as Jesus came not for those who thought they were well, but for those who are broken and know they're sick, so we as a church have this ministry, the ministry of reconciliation. We are to go to spread the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, to show his love, to be known by the love of Jesus Christ. Remember the gospel. Remember we have one life-giving mission. And we aren't doing it for Jesus. Jesus is doing it through us. When we surrender to him and when we obey him, the same Jesus that walked the streets of first century Palestine still is alive in Peoria, East Peoria, Chillicothe, wherever genuine followers of Jesus are. The Lord Jesus Christ is still present and active. So you see what Paul's saying? He's saying it's so important that we be like Jesus, humble, gentle, forbearing in love, eager to stay united in the gospel, in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, because there's only one gospel, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one family that we've been brought into. We must be like Jesus. So what does it really look for us to be like Jesus? How do we do this? And this is where I want to leave you this morning. It's not like at the beginning we saw Be Like Mike, where you just need to buy Gatorade and put on some Nikes and then you can be like Mike, learn how to do the fadeaway shot that he could do. It's not that. We don't become like Jesus by just copying Jesus. You see, the gospel tells us something so, so different. It tells us that I can't be like Jesus, and you can't be like Jesus. It tells me that although my heart and humanity was created to be good and loving and kind, because of the fall, because of sin, that we rejected God, something has happened to my heart and in your heart. That I can't just flip a switch on and say I'm going to be like Jesus. Because my heart is not only capable of good, it's capable of evil. And not only is it kind, and it's become corrupt because of the fall and sin. And you see, the way we become like Jesus is by turning to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith, trusting in Him. It's only through by believing in Christ and coming as a sinner and trusting in Christ that my heart and your heart can be changed. No, as Christians, we don't believe it's sinless perfection. We're not going to get there. But do you know that God can not only forgive you of your acts of sin and the evil you've done, which we've all done evil, but He can actually put His love in your heart. And His love in your heart can change you to be a whole new person. I've seen so many Christians. And you might say, hey, Pastor Mark, I've seen so many people who, they're nothing like that. How can I believe that? I said to you last week, and I'll say it again, get around a real follower of Jesus. Not one that's a holier-than-thou follower of Jesus. Get around a real follower of Jesus who's been saved. They've been changed. They were lost, and God has made them a new person. And that's what I desire most for you to see in my life. It's what I desire most for you to see when you meet members of Peoria Nazarene Church. Faith is the key that we trust in God. Colossians 3, 1 through 17. I'm not going to read the passage, but I'd encourage you, if you get a chance, read this passage. It has so much to say about what this looks like for us to follow Jesus, but and to be like Jesus. Colossians 3, Paul talks about there's a number of things we must put off and other things we must put on, but he roots it in the fact that because the Colossian believers have come to trust in Christ, they've been raised with Him. And what Paul's saying, and it's true of us too, that for all of us who turn to Jesus, not just trying to copy Him, but rather we surrender our lives to Him. And we come to Him, confessing our sins and trusting in Him as Savior and Lord, we are raised to new life. We are made new. We have God's life in us. We have hope. There's something that changes in our heart, and the old passes away, and we become new, a new creation in Christ Jesus. And then Paul says, now that this is true, to be like Jesus, you must put to death in your life what is not like Christ. And there's so many things that you could identify here and you could read. He talks about wrath, anger, malice, slander, obscene talk. He talks about divisions. He talks about impurity, passions. And what Paul's saying is he's not preaching a holier-than-thou lifestyle. He's saying, no, when you have Jesus in you, it valves a break with the ways of the past, of the sinful ways. And it involves an embracing and a putting on of the very behavior and life of Jesus Christ. We as Christians must put on the very character of the Lord Jesus Christ. He begins to talk about that, and I want to share here what that looks like. He mentions a number of things, but especially in verse 14, he says this. He says, above putting on forgiveness, humility, gentleness, above everything, to sum it up, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. I hope if you receive only one thing this morning, I hope it's this verse. To be like Jesus is to put on love. And we're not talking about the world's love. We're talking about the self-giving, sacrificing, faithful, divine love of God. We as Christians must be known by this love. And he says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. He goes on here in verse 15, I think, to talk about how we do that. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Can I ask you, can I let the Holy Spirit ask me, because I need to hear it, what has been dwelling in your heart recently? What has been dwelling in my heart? What's causing angst? God understands that. He loves you. He cares for you. But what's been affecting your behavior, your conversation? And let me challenge you, let the word of Jesus dwell in you. And as the word of Jesus dwells in you, it's going to change how you speak, how you interact with other people. Here Paul says, there's a spirit of thanksgiving, there's a teaching and an admonishing, encouraging of one another in all wisdom. There's a singing, a joyful singing that characterizes Christians, of singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, characterized by thankfulness. Be like Jesus. We as Christians are called to be like Jesus. So as we pray, I just want to ask you, more importantly, I hope and I would believe that what the Holy Spirit would ask of each one of us, especially those of us who are followers of Jesus today, I think He would ask us, is there anything that you and I need to put off? Paul says you've been raised with Christ, so put to death everything that is not like Jesus. Is there anything in my heart, in my communication, my speech, in my attitude, in the way I interact with other people, whether they're like me or not? Is there anything that I need to put off? And then secondly, is there anything that I need to put on to be like Jesus? Is there a more humble spirit? Is there a greater gentleness? Is there a patience and a forbearing love? Above all, Paul says, put on love. Church, remember, the world needs to see God's love. The only way the world can see God's love is through Jesus. And the only way the world can see Jesus is through the church. We are the very dwelling place of God. We have the Holy Spirit. And the world is watching us. And we are called to be like Jesus. Will you pray with me? Father, I am so thankful for your word. I just am humbled that you love me. I know I am a sinner. I know that I was lost. I was dead in my sins, just as Paul says, and I did not have hope. I was selfish and all these things that characterized me. And while I know I'm not perfect now, I know I have your love. I have hope. In Jesus, you've changed me. And I am so thankful for what you've done for me, Jesus. And Jesus, I know the joy that you brought into my heart isn't just for me. It's for the whole world. That you love every human being. You love us no matter what we've done. You've sent your Son. And you want the church of Jesus Christ to be like Jesus. The message of the gospel tells me I shouldn't just try harder. Do better, try harder. No, the gospel says I can't be these things. But it tells me that if I trust in you, the one who has raised me to new life, if I trust in you and by faith I pray, Lord, help me to put on the new. Father, help me to put to death those things that are not like you. I want to say, and I think, Lord, for all followers of Jesus, you call us to surrender. You have veto power. Is there anything in our life that you want to put your finger on this morning and say, this has to stop. This needs to change. I pray that your church would not listen to me. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I'm not the source of all truth. Your word is. Would you apply your word in specific ways to each one of us, Lord? And would we hear your spirit? And would we heed your voice? And would we put to death anything that may be not like you. And at the same time, speak to us, O God. Call us into greater humility. Call us into greater gentleness, Lord. You're not asking us to give up our opinions or our passions, all of them. That's okay, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you're calling us to love. And you want this church family, you want my life to be about helping other people who are lost find you. So Jesus, I pray, whatever you need to do in Mark McCall or Peoria Nazarene, whatever you need to do to help bring the gospel to more people, Jesus, I ask that there would be people who could come to see Jesus in me. And they wouldn't praise me or they wouldn't praise us. They would praise the Father and they would praise the Lord Jesus Christ. We love you. Sustain us. May your word dwell in our hearts richly. And may we hear your word and follow you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Be
Once again, I want to thank you for joining us this morning for our online worship service. And we pray that this has been a blessing to you and that you have felt the love of God throughout this time. I want to encourage you, if there's any way that we can be praying for you, you can reach out to us directly. If you have any questions for us, we would love to hear those. And you can go to our website, peorianazarene.church, and there's a Contact Us link at the top. That will take you to a very simple form, and you can give us your contact information and any question or prayer request or anything you would like to include in that, and that comes directly to Pastor Mark and myself. Well, once again, thank you for joining us. We pray that you have a blessed Sunday and that you have a wonderful week, and we encourage you and invite you back here next Sunday at 10:30 as we gather again on YouTube and Facebook for a time of worship and opening up the Word of God. Have a wonderful week.